they continue to get ready for Ball State on Saturday. But right now, this is always a pleasure for me. One of my mentors, somebody who I have the utmost respect for, Larry Schmitto. And Larry, I was trying to figure out the best way to describe you with as far as the Nashville Sounds. I know the original owner, the founder, you know, to me, the father of the Nashville Sounds. If you were in the elevator and somebody asked you that question, how would you describe yourself with regards to the Nashville Sounds?
I just say I was the one that thought it up. I had a lot of people join on ship, and I was proud to be there to bring baseball back to Nashville.
I go back to my 2 years with you. There's still things that I use every day, the things that I learned in those 2 years that I spent working with you and everybody else as far as that organization. And the two of my best years of my life. And I will, it's hard work. And, you know, you expected a lot of output. I will say that. But you made me a better person, and I can't ever thank you enough.
Well, we appreciate your service as well as all the others. It was our intent not just to get the players to a higher level. It was our intent to get radio announcers, salespeople to other jobs if that's what they wanted to do, go to the major leagues to do something. We had several do that, several announcers that wind up calling major league sport, you to go to a college. And Robbie Bourne's now down to the Titans, and so we had a lot of people on the players that made it big time, too. That made my job easy.
I love it. Hey, the news this week, you know, the Nashville Sounds, a new affiliation with the Texas Rangers, you know, for several years of the AAA team for the Oakland A's. I go back to when I was there, the Sounds were the AAA team for the Cincinnati Reds, and a lot of those players that we saw in those 2 years ended up helping the Reds win the World Series, for example, in 1990. I knew with this process, I thought, no better than you to help explain to our listeners behind the scenes what goes, because you can describe it as musical chairs, but basically you've got an X amount of AAA teams, X amount of major league teams, and they all got to get paired up somehow.
Yeah, everybody, if you're AA or AAA, you don't have to worry about not having a working relationship. But they're called player development contracts. We just call them working agreements. It's basically a partnership between a minor league club and a major league club, or the major league club's going to pick up the brunt of the expenses, the salaries, the coaches, staff, the trainer, and then the minor league club's going to pay for transportation, several other things, and some of the meal money. You sign for... Nowadays, it used to be you couldn't sign for less than 2 years where, you know, you didn't have people coming up odd years. So it's not unusual. Nolan Ryan still owns, the primary owner of the Round Rock Express. And his son, Reed Ryan, is president of the Houston Astros. So it's no big secret why they wanted the Astros. But, you know, in Nashville now, you have... The major league clubs, they really don't want to be with a city. If they're east of the Mississippi, they want to be an international league. Hurt Nashville's chances a whole lot when the American Association went away and they all joined in the Pacific Coast League. So most of the teams in the east that really has a popular major league clubs, they don't want any Pacific Coast League. Also, right now, probably the success of Nashville is hurting their chances of really having a good pick, because it's not much affordable housing for the players when they come here to rent an apartment. So those two things kind of work against the Sounds as far as having a lot of options. Now, when I was running, I always looked to see who had the most prospects in AA and high A, because I wanted a winning team. I don't really know what the philosophy is of the Sounds, is what they want if they could get it. I read the paper where Washington and Texas were the two that were left out, and Nashville and Fresno was the two options. I'm sure neither the Rangers nor Washington wanted to go to Fresno and have a AAA team all the way on the other coast. But it worked out, I guess, better for Nashville than it did for and for the Rangers than it did for Washington. I'm sure Fresno don't care.
Having a chance once again to talk a little Major League Baseball with the Minor League Touch with Larry Schmitto. And I have to be honest with you, I love the way it was set up back in, especially with, you know, the competition between the two leagues, the way it was when I was there with you in the 80s, because you got to see so many more teams. If you were a fan of the Braves or Cardinals, Reds, whatever the case may be, you got a little bit of interleague play between the two leagues. And I really think that minor league baseball misses out when they don't have that enough.
Well, and actually, we had that few years that we had International League and us play some games together, but mainly I would have never voted to leave the American Association, and because, you know, the rivalries between Louisville and Indianapolis,
exactly,
was precious. It helped in transportation. No matter, I've never really thought that who you're connected with matters a whole lot, because most of the people come to a minor league game. We used to do surveys at the first base gate where the just people coming for a few games would ask, "Who are we playing tonight?" 80% didn't know. So I think mainly in the minor leagues, you're coming out to have a good time. Hope the home team wins. But I don't think you got many people that's coming because you're affiliated with a certain, because just take Huntsville, for example. I had about 8 choices when we moved to Huntsville, and I chose the Oakland A's. Why? I looked down their sheet, and I saw a guy named McGuire. I saw a guy named Canseco. I saw a guy named Weiss. I mean, all my scouting buddies was telling me these are going to be superstars. And we started winning, and people turned out because we were winning. And I think winning does help you, especially from mid-July until the end of the season.
And especially you talk about players, too, like Mark McGuire and Jose Canseco. This was before any PED. This was just pure talent and athletic ability. I mean, Jose Canseco, in his short stint there with Huntsville, earned the nickname of Jose Parkway because his home runs was basically hitting off near the South Parkway there in Huntsville.
Absolutely. And when he went on rehab, he'd always request, "I want to go back to Huntsville. I don't want to go to the AAA thing." So, Jose loved Huntsville as much as Huntsville loved him. And you know, there's so many good players we had in those times that I was with Oakland there, because, you know, they were a whole lot different now in analytics, wasn't involved and all that. It was just pure old players and exciting players that could hit the ball out of the ballpark. And we had Tim Belcher there, who was an outstanding pitcher. So, I mean, I knew we was going to have a winning team when I chose them over a whole bunch of other teams that wanted to come to Huntsville.
Larry Schmitto joining us again. You know, one of the other things that you did back in the days, and certainly now with technology, you can get really, you know, take away the personal edge of it as far as surveys. But, you know, you wanted us as far as employees, especially after all the tickets have been sold to start a game, you wanted us in the middle parts of games to go sit with fans and just get their opinions. Things like you were just talking about, you know, what's important. Did you know going in if the Sounds were playing Team A or B, you know, what things make you and your family keep wanting to come back, what promotions and stuff. But it wasn't just a here's a form, fill it out. You like for us to have that personal interaction with the fans that were coming out to the ball games.
Yeah, and that's the reason I walked up and down all them 26 different sections aisles to hear that and be at the first base gate. I can tell a real true quick story. I was at the gate one night when the movie Annie came out real popular, and a guy said, "How would you like to have the real Annie come down and maybe have a look-alike contest?" I thought, well, he can't get to Annie and Quillen. And 2 days later, the agent called and said, "What day do you want to have it?" And so, you know, promotion just popped up there. And we had about 101 little girls and one redheaded boy entered the contest. And that little boy was real mad. And I told him, I said, "Don't worry, I'll get you eliminated real quick."
I love it. Larry Schmitto joining us again. I remember as far as national anthem singers, and you allowed me the luxury of being able to select those for the 2 years I was there. And we had Tiny Tim. You know, you were always big into bringing in, as far as the start of a season, you know, major league teams to really get everybody pumped up for a new season. And I always remember Tiny Tim's doing the national anthem, and the players were just, after he was done, wanting to get his autograph. So I think the Cleveland Indians were there, and I think it was then the Montreal Expos, but they couldn't wait to get the autograph of one Tiny Tim.
Right. Well, we had a lot of good ones. A lot of country music people wouldn't sing it because it's a hard song to sing. We had a few people forget the words in midstream, but that was part of our appeal. And, you know, my promotion ideas are different than the promotion ideas today. I wanted to get my logo and my name out on kids. And that's the reason we had T-shirt days, hat days, wristband days, where I could get some walking around advertisement. Nowadays, most people have done away with that. They just have a whole bunch of fireworks shows, and they promote differently than I do. Maybe they, you know, they're having good results, so I'm not saying they're wrong. It's just that we did things a little differently than they do it today.
And I don't know if you want me saying this or not, but I know that you actually had the respect, of, like, in this case, the Cincinnati Reds, where if you wanted a particular player to be promoted just because of not only their athletic ability, but what it could also mean as far as putting extra fans in the seats, you know, they would listen to you. I remember that they made a move because of your request with one of the players from Chattanooga at the time that was the Double A team. And I don't know necessarily how many individuals in the position that you were in today, if they would have that same kind of pull.
Well, they knew I had scouted for the Cleveland Indians before I went to Vanderbilt, and then I'd coached and recruited, and, you know, sometimes they'd ask my opinion, some wouldn't. Sometimes, like, I remember Bobby Cox calling me from Atlanta when he was general manager, and he said, I got an opportunity to get Norm Charlton, should I get it? I said, absolutely, as fast as you can get it. And he didn't do it. And years later, he saw me. He said, I should have listened to you when he became one of the Nasty Boys. But, we every now and then, like, I wanted them to get Gene Manese and Rick Duncan, two guys that played for me at Vanderbilt. They were good players. They went and got them, and both of them succeeded. They moved on up to AAA when we were AA. And, I knew most of the people, the farm directors, the general managers, of whatever major league club we were with. I have the unique experience of having worked with, keep this in mind, Charlie Finley, Marge Schott, and George Steinbrenner.
And
I got along with all of them.
And you're able to use a little bit of knowledge from all of those, especially when it comes to promotions, too. So,
well, it was a good period of my life. I enjoyed it. I appreciate all the people of Nashville that came. You know, I guess we were the real story of build it and they will come, because 90% of people said when we started, that won't work, didn't work with the Vols. But as soon as we started building a stadium with our own money, people just flocked in there and had a good time, had good teams, had good employees. That's a pretty good formula.
Couldn't said it better. Larry, always a pleasure. Have a great rest of the week. Looking forward to talking to you down the road.
And don't beat yourself up too bad on Florida State. I think they will win at least one more game this year.
Thanks so much. Thanks. I appreciate it. Larry Schmitto, once again, the original owner, the founder, the father.